Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
Now let's move on and review a couple of really interesting presentations we saw addressing emerging therapies in small cell lung cancer.
Today, Dr. Sosinski and Sabari joined the podcast to discuss ASCO 2025, Emerging Therapies in Small Cell Lung Cancer, in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mark Sosinski, a thoracic medical oncologist and executive medical director of the AdventHealth Cancer Institute in Orlando, Florida.
And I'm Dr. Joshua Sabari, a thoracic medical oncologist and assistant professor of medicine at New York University Grossman School of Medicine in New York.
Thank you for joining here today, Josh.
Glad to participate, Mark.
So we're here in Chicago for ASCO 2025, which has been fantastic. We spoke about lurbinectedin and tarlatamab abstracts in the first video. I think they're practice-changing presentations. Now let's move on and review a couple of really interesting presentations we saw addressing emerging therapies in small cell lung cancer. One was a phase two evaluation of a trispecific T-cell engager, and the second was a phase one study of an EGFR HER3 bispecific antibody drug conjugate.
Sounds great, and I couldn't agree more. Really an exciting time in the small cell lung cancer space. So let's start with ZG006. This is a trispecific T-cell engager that targets CD3 and delta-like ligand 3 of DLL3, and it has two distinct epitopes. And as a monotherapy in patients with advanced small cell lung cancer who received two or more prior therapies, we saw an impressive 66.7% response rate and a 92.6% disease control rate. Mark, put those numbers into context for me in the later line setting.
Yeah, and I believe this was with two prior regimens that patients had. So this is really third line treatment. One comment there, those patients with small cell lung cancer that get to third line tend to be somewhat unique and robust patients because most patients don't even make it to second line treatment.
Right, and we know that there are many subtypes of small cell lung cancer. Maybe we're selecting out for a less aggressive biology here.
Exactly, and this is only 27 patients. Now, having stated those caveats, we don't see response rates in the 66% range or disease control rate, 90%+ of patients. So actually, I was at the presentation. I was actually quite impressed. It is a investigators out of China that are doing this, but kudos to them for getting this done and presenting this data, because I thought it was pretty exciting. And of course, on the tails of the tarlatamab data is, you know, can we make a better bispecific T-cell engager? And of course, this is early data with this one. There is a dose question, though.
Yeah, so we see that at higher doses at 30 milligrams every 2 weeks, we saw an even better response rate at 78.6%, and at the lower dose levels, about 10 milligrams every 2 weeks, about 54%. And we did see efficacy even in patients with low or medium DLL3 expression. So, Mark, are you testing for DLL3 expression in your clinic? And don't all small cell lung cancer patients or cells have DLL3 expression?
Yes, I think I can't remember which presentation it was, but they showed the data for DLL positivity was 90%+. So why do you have to test for something that's always there in the setting? So, you know, this is a gray area of is there an appropriate biomarker? But if the biomarker is present in most or all patients, I'm not quite sure why it's necessary to test it. So we don't test it. Now, I would consider it investigational.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we did see some treatment-related adverse events. About, 87% of patients did have an adverse event. But the grade 3 and 4 adverse events, those are the ones we worry about in clinical practice, were quite low at about 12.5%. And interestingly, no treatment discontinuations occurred here. We are still enrolling into this trial, and further data on the duration of response and progression-free survival are awaited. All right, let's move on to the drug Izobren, and we'll discuss this EGFR HER3 bispecific. Mark, you want to tell us a little about BLB01D1, Izobren?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, this is a bispecific antibody drug conjugate with a TOPO1 inhibitor payload, which many of them have, and this was in patients with locally advanced or metastatic small cell lung cancer. There were 58 patients in the overall cohort. The overall response rate was 55%, confirmed overall response rate 45%. Median PFS was 4 months, and the median overall survival was about 12 months in this subset of patients.
So Mark, this is a second drug here where we're seeing response rates north of 50%. You know, I mean, historically, when we think about second and third line agents, we're seeing response rates in the 20, maybe 30% range. Do you think it's different that we're treating these post-IO treated patients here?
I don't know if it's just we understand the biology and we have more therapeutic options that we didn't have. Let's face it, the cytotoxics are now a thing of the past at this point. Exposure to IO, does that make the patient a better host? Might they be more receptive to subsequent lines of therapy? We talk a lot about that, but I don't know that I've seen any credible data to really support that. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, but it is impressive how many therapies are currently available. And maybe we're hyper-selecting for fit, healthy patients, as you mentioned. And as these drugs move into the earlier line setting, you know, I'm predicting that response rates may come down a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. However, it one of the nice things, I'm a little bit older than you, and you know, it expanding the number of options that we have for patients, and really, I think it behooves us in community oncologists to be on top of patients in kind of, I like to say to my patients, my job is to know your cancer is getting worse before you know it's getting worse, so we can offer them these subsequent lines of therapy that may have more activity. So, I mean, this drug in a subgroup of patients who'd received only one prior PD-L1 agent plus platinum-based chemotherapy, again, response rates of 80% confirmed. Yeah, 75% confirmed. 7 months median PFS, about 15 months overall survival. So Josh, talk a little bit about the treatment-related adverse events.
Yeah, so some of the common adverse events that we saw were hematologic, such as anemia, leukopenia, but these were manageable with, you know, supportive care. We didn't really see any, you know, interstitial lung disease or any new safety signals. There were two infection-related deaths that were reported, and it's important to see more information on those. And currently, a phase 3 study is ongoing to further evaluate the efficacy in small cell lung cancer with limited prior therapy. So again, Mark, to come back to that point, you know, 80% response rates in the second line, you know, durability here of 7 months. I mean, these are numbers that we haven't seen. So I agree with you. Maybe we're understanding the biology of this disease better than we have in the past.
Or we're understanding how to leverage the immune system to a better degree and get it there. You know, I always say to my patients, if a transplant surgeon puts the wrong organ in you, your immune system is quite good at rejecting that organ. And why doesn't it reject cancer all the time? And of course, we know cancer has mechanisms to shield itself from immune surveillance. So now kind of unraveling and developing therapeutics that are capable of doing that, I think is amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So thank you, Josh. This was a great engaging conversation. These certainly emerging molecules in small cell lung cancer are very encouraging. I'm looking forward to additional data as these agents progress through later state studies.
I am as well, and thank you, Mark. And thank you to the audience for watching.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, what's my Flash Briefing? Thanks today to our guest, Dr. Sosinski and Sabari. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.